Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. And then 1 year later, God called me to preach. And boy, howdy, my life has never been the same. Well, even with all these heart problems and cancer problems and other things, I'm still praising God. He's still real. He's still real, and I love him, and I want to tell you about him. So tonight I just wished that you would just kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, pour you a nice hot cup of coffee or something, and let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Well, here's our thought for the day. Serious trouble comes when the New Year's resolutions collide with the old year's habits. Well, friends, tonight we're going to talk on the subject new beginnings. And I'm reading from 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, 17th verse through 20. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. Well, again, the name of this is the New Beginnings. The Christian life has a new beginning. You know that. No one is born a Christian. All are born sinners. Psalm 51:5. Fearlessness, filthiness, and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And then it tells us in Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. There's no fear of God before their eyes, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, now it tells us over here in the 3rd chapter of Gospel John, and with the first verse, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and hither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Well, friends, now I was born and raised in the Dalles, Oregon, out near the blowout place they called it. Every time we had a windstorm, boy, the sand would pile up in the road and they had to go out there and grade it out. See, you and I can't see the wind, but we experience by looking at the Spirit of God, which you can't see, but you can see the evidence of it. The trees will blow back and forth, tumbleweeds, whatever. But Jesus told Nicodemus, Nicodemus, are you a ruler of Jews and you didn't know that? Well, you know why Nicodemus looked up Jesus? I'll tell you why. Because he had heard from other Christians that God had saved them, and he just couldn't understand it, so he decided he'd go to Jesus first, see him first, and see what's going on. Well, Jesus put it to him straight. Ye must be born again, and so do you. Tonight, you listen to my voice. You say, wait a minute, Cecil, I was baptized when I was about 3 days old. I don't care. You weren't baptized, you were poured, or sprinkled, or whatever. Baptism doesn't save you. Only Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. Sometimes even believers need new beginnings. We need a new beginning when we become bitter or bothered about the past, present, or future. David understood this and prayed for a new beginning. Well, you know the sin that he got involved with. After the terrible sin David had committed, he said in verse 12 in Psalms 51, Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted to thee. Boy, you know, David committed about as much sin as you can do for a night. But this wonderful, wonderful Savior forgave him. Read in 1 John where it says that if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us all our sins. That's what the Bible says. So, if you're a Christian and you've sinned, excuse me, I just had a drink of juice. If you've sinned, if you're willing to confess it to him, and you say, oh, that's easy. Oh, is it? No, I didn't know it was easy. You bet your life it's not easy. No, sirree, it's not easy to confess your sins to him. But if you do it with a repentant heart, now let me look over here. Let me turn my page here just a second. My Bible here. All right, just keep going, Cecil. You're doing fine. All right, here we're just about there. Don't give up on me, kids. Don't give up on me. Okay, where are we at? Just about there. All right. All right. All right, I'm going to try to find it here in just a second. Oh, my stars. You know what? I must be getting old. I must be getting old. But it said in verse 17, Therefore, if any man or woman be in Christ, he is absolutely, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. You are a new creature, new creation. You know what? When I went to that preacher's home, and you've heard this 100,000 times, but don't turn me off, I was crushed. I was at the bottom of the pack. I was broken. But he said, Cecil, God loves you, but he hates your sin. And he told me I could be a new person. I said, you mean I've been a drunk all these years, and you mean to tell me God's going to forgive me for that? I said, I can't quit drinking. He said, try Jesus. Try him. And I did. And he was right. I became a new creature in Christ Jesus. Am I a perfect Christian, a perfect creature? No, I'm a forgiven creature. He forgave me. He said, let's believe this regarding our past sin, Psalm 103. Now, where in the world, Psalm 103? As far as the east is west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Wow. Isn't that neat? Oh, I tell you, we are a blessed people. Now, let's believe it regarding confessing sins and salvation, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, refuse to be tormented by sins God has forgiven. New beginnings also require forgiving others. Ephesians 4:30 and 32. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger, also clamor and evil speaking, be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. Well, now, sometimes we don't believe that God can forgive us. Many are held back in their Christian walk by refusing to forgive. Listen, it's time to put away old grudges for wrongs done to us. We can forgive because we have been forgiven. We have never been wrong like we have wronged God. Since he hath forgiven us, we can forgive others. Are you ready to let the past be, for the past be passed through forgiveness? Verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to him by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Now listen, friends, let me tell you what. We need to realize that we are imperfect people. Look what happened to Adam and Eve in the garden. Everything was hunky-dory. Everything was going good. And all God said to them, he said, do not eat of the fruit in the garden, that one fruit. The rest of them you can have, but don't mess with that. Well, I don't know what Eve was thinking of, but she was out there strolling in the garden this one day. She saw this beautiful tree that she were told not to mess with. And did you know the fruit looked good in her eye? Doesn't sin look good? Come on. Cut it out. You know sin looks good to the eye. I used to tell my wife, oh, Jean, come on down to the bar. Oh, they're a bunch of friendly people. She said, I feel dirty when you're in there. And she had a right to say that, absolutely. Well, the entire Christian life is an experience in faith. The just shall live by faith. Oh, dear friends, says in Romans 1:17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Do you know what, friends? I hear these pastors, they get up in these churches and they say, wow, We don't know how much money we got coming in, so let's get a pledge card going for all of our people, which is unchristian, unscriptural. The just shall walk by faith. We are to give as God has prospered. And that's what he said. That's his word. That's not the preacher's word. That's the word of God. So we don't have to go out there and say, well, I'll pledge so many. How do you know what you're going to make this year? You might drop over with a stroke or a heart attack and don't have any money. And you've pledged that? Well, you don't have to give it if you don't have it. Don't even sign it. I wouldn't sign it under no condition for any pastor. Well, the Bible tells us that therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, that's what I lacked in my life. I didn't have any peace. Why? Because I was a lost sinner. And the Bible tells us that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Nobody, you know, I told you my cousin used to tell me, well, Cecil, I'm not a bad person. I said, I didn't say you were. But if you don't know Jesus, you're a lost person. As simple as that. I don't know how you can cut it any other way. It's not because we're good or bad. Hey, good people go to hell and bad people go to heaven. Sometimes read the Bible. My stars, I was a bad person. I'm going to heaven. What's name is a good person when they're going to hell? Because they were lost, not because they were bad. Well, then we read in Romans 1:17, it says, For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall not only walk by faith, that's not in the scripture, I mean that one, but you shall live by faith. But, and you know what, that's another thing. Faith is total trust in the Lord. It is the opposite of fear. When I go to the hospital and I'm with my heart and I had that cancer operation, you think for 5 minutes that Cecil Moe wasn't afraid? Well, how could you be afraid? You're a Christian. You say you're born again, going to heaven. That's right. No one wants to die. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but no one wants to die. No, it's leaving your loved ones and your friends and all that. But a Christian is always ready to go because that's the way God made us. Now, it tells us also in Hebrews 10:38, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Well, now, as faith increases, fear decreases. Why then are so many believers in bondage to anxiety? They're just not trusting God for everyday provisions. And you know what it says in Philippians 4:19? But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Oh, friends, can I get off the track and tell you a little story? Years ago, I was preaching a revival in Cedar Woolley, Washington. A man came up to me and said, Cecil, my brother is lost and he lives down in North Carolina. Oh, I'd love to have you go down and try to reach him for Jesus. Now, this man talking was a alcoholic who's converted. One day it was very real. I'm supposed to go down there to see that man. Now, my wife and my family, we left Seattle, Washington with $30 in our pocket and no gas credit card. A dairyman came up to me when he found I was going, said, I'd like you to tell me how much money God told me to give you. And if you tell me the exact amount, I'll give it to you right now. I said, I don't play that game. Well, he said, I'll tell you, Cecil, if you get out on the road and you don't have any money, you call me, collect, and tell me how much money God told me to give to you. I said, okay. Well, we got down there quite a ways, and we ran out of money. Called him on the phone, and I said, well, this is Cecil. You told me to call you. He said, you sure did. How much money am I supposed to give you? I said, $300. He said, where do I send it? That's the exact figure. He said, if you'd have said $315, you would never got it. Well, I don't like to play a game that. But anyway, see what I had in the back of my van? I had my tool bag. I'm a roofer and a siding man. And I thought, well, like Paul did, he stopped and make a tent when he run out of money. And I thought, well, I could do the same thing. And that's the way we went to down to North Carolina. I went and visited that man. Well, and guess what happened? He was lost. You sure he was? I witnessed to him, and I witnessed to him, but I couldn't reach him. So we came back to Seattle. I hadn't been home about a month, and I get a phone call from this man that told me that he wanted me to go see his brother. He said, my brother is in the hospital, in Veterans Hospital, had a heart attack in Seattle. I jumped in my car, and I drove to Seattle. I walked in his room, and he almost jumped out of his bed. Where did you come from? I said, I came from where I live. Now, I said, the message has not changed. You need to trust Jesus before you die. Gave his heart to Jesus. Got out of the hospital in about 2 weeks, I guess. And he decided to buy some property by his brother so he could live up with him. He fell dead. Fell dead. But Cecil and his family, by faith, took off to try to lead a man to Christ. Friends, listen to me. That's the truth. You got to walk by faith and not by sight. A lot of people just got to have so much money in the bank. Oh, I'll do this, brother, if I got my... One time a guy on my broadcast called me and said, Cecil, you know, I'm poor, but I'd sure like to send you money to support your ministry and your radio stuff. I knew he wasn't telling the truth. Because if it was only 10 cents, if I was supposed to help you, if it's only a dollar, I'm going to do it. But you see, some people just have to see everything in black and white. Well, anyway, faith makes the upward look good and the outlook bright, and in look favorable and the future glorious. Let the present be exciting through evangelism, verse 18:20. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in the Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed us into the word of reconciliation. Take no thought of tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Friends, I want to give an invitation tonight. I always do. If you don't know Jesus, and you got it tugging at your heart, and you know that you're not saved, you know that you're not, you don't know where you're going to go when you die, so you're sure unsaved, I want you to bow your head with me, and I want you to pray the most powerful prayer ever known unto man, and that goes like this. Kind Heavenly Father, in the holy, precious name of Jesus, I'm asking you, Lord, to forgive me. I confess that I'm lost and undone and without Christ. Tonight, Father, come into my heart. Save me, Lord, and help me to live for you the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. You prayed that prayer. I want you to get on the phone and call 303-471-8534. Won't lose your name on the air. Won't embarrass you. Won't sit down and write and ask you for any money. Only concern where you spend eternity. Please give me a call. If you can't afford to call, dear friend, you call me collect and I'll accept the charge. 303-471-8534. Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. I hope I said something that encouraged you. Oh, beloved, listen. You know, life is going to be over someday. If you don't know Jesus, you'll go to hell. It's as simple as that. I don't like to say that, but it's the truth. That's why I urge and beg people to put their trust in the Lord while they're still alive. As long as you got breath in your lungs, you can still repent. And if you don't understand what I'm talking about and you want to talk to me, you call me at 303-471-8534. No, I'm not the smartest man in town. No, I don't claim to be, but I do know Jesus, and I can tell you how to find him. 303-471-8534. So until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbor. Stay sweet. Keep looking up for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus. It's coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.